This day have I begotten thee. Jesus was not born the Son of God in Bethlehem. That was the Son of God being born. He's already the Son of God. He didn't become the Son of God when he's born of Mary. That's just when he took upon himself flesh. Amen. Always been the Son of God. Always been with him. Always been there. I mean, no, without beginning. See? But that's when he took upon himself the flesh of man. When he, this day have I begotten thee. If you go back over to the book of Acts, we won't take time to do that today. But if you go back over to the book of Acts, you'll see there that this day have I begotten thee was the day he raised him from the dead. Raised him up out of that death. Raised him up out of that separation and said, again, he'll be to me my son. And he raised him up with the power of his word. Hallelujah. I get so excited over there. I'll tell you, I could run around this building nonstop, brother. Praise God. This is the most thrilling thing the universe has ever witnessed. Amen. But now, I want you to see these different words and the way they're used. He was appointed heir. See, he didn't just... At this point... His relationship eternally with his father was no longer his status because he separated himself and tied himself to us. Our sin, our failure, he took it, he bore it, and allowed it to separate him from the father. And at that point, how could you say, again, I will be a father to him, had there not been a separation? See, 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, when you get a hold of that, and you begin to see the operation of God, he raised him up and spoke words to him. That's the way God created the earth. That's the way he created Adam. That's the way he created all things. And he hath spoken to him and appointed him heir of all things. And gave him a name which is above every name that is named. Well, did you know the Bible said we are named after that same name? His body, both in heaven and in earth, is named after that same name. And we have been appointed joint heirs. I'm telling you, when you got born again, the same thing happened to you that happened to Jesus when God raised him from the dead. And we've let Jesus be way up here, and we consider ourselves way down here and just barely groveling around down here, you know, yes, oh yes, you know, we're just sinners saved by grace. Dear God, get over that. Amen. That is not humility, it is ignorance of the word. You rise up in it and say, glory be to God. Look what he has done. He has raised us up together. We sit with him in heavenly places. You're just as much a child. You're just as much a son or a daughter of God as Jesus of Nazareth is. And this is the reason why he came, was to get that done. He didn't come do all of this to give himself stature. He came and did it to give you place, to give you stature, to give you authority, to give you the Holy Spirit, to give you the full armor of God, to give you position in this universe, to give you resurrection power, to give you eternity, to give you his name, to give you his blood, to give you place. To give you place. Oh, yeah. To rise up and take your place. Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Amen. made. He made him. He appointed him. The scripture says in the book of Romans, he was declared the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. He was declared the Son of God with power, Son of God with authority by resurrection from the dead. Oh, hallelujah. Whoa, glory be to God. Because see, all that, the reason it's so exciting to us, when he came in his earthly ministry, that's exciting. That's wonderful. But we look at that and say, oh, that's great and that's wonderful, but where is he now? I need him now. That's 2,000 years ago. I mean, what does that mean now? Well, as long as you just leave Jesus back there, you just leave him there, you just see him as the man of sorrow, you're going to have to, let me tell you something. And I may get all over one of your favorite songs right now. But I'm,
that's all right.
God gets on me, I get on you. That's the name of the game, brother. Amen. We're just clinging to that old rugged cross. And you know what? It just gets more rugged and more rugged and more rugged. No, we're not clinging to the old rugged cross. Thank God you had to come by the cross. Thank God for the cross. Hallelujah. We come to the cross. But that's where your sin lies. Let it lay there. And then come on by that cross. Walk under that blood. Hallelujah. And let it just run down all over you. And come on by that cross. And take a big look in that empty tomb. And then come on by that empty tomb. And come on up to the upper room. Hallelujah. And come through that upper room. When the Spirit of God. I got to share this with you. I can't turn this loose. In the old covenant, the Shekinah glory of God, the fire of God, had to be covered by the cloud of God to keep from destroying the flesh of a man. No man, no sinful being could come into the presence of that. It'd cook you like a crisp, brother. I mean, you just wind up a greasy spot, right? And there wasn't nothing God could do about it. He had to cloud and shroud himself to keep from just wiping everybody out. Because you bring sin and that glory together in the same container and it's done, brother. I mean, it's over with. It's over. Can you imagine how that made him feel? When the glory that... See, he crowned Adam with his glory. Adam and his wife have the same fire, the same glory on them that God had. That's the reason they'd never seen their naked bodies. All they had seen was this glorious glory of God's glory all over them. And then when they... in treason, the righteousness of God was snuffed out and the glory left, and they were standing there naked and saw their flesh for the first time. Can you imagine how God felt? He no longer could run up and hug his own children. It had destroyed them. Why? The flesh was corrupted. The environment was corrupted. Everything around them corrupted. God just made his presence on Mount Sinai, and that old corrupted soil, that old corrupted rock, and old corrupted mountain began to shake and quiver, and fire coming out of that thing. And he said, tell them to move back, tell them to move back. Oh, dang, tell them, don't touch this mountain, it'll kill you. The fire. You listen to me? The prophet saw him in a vision and said, he's a fire from his loins up and he's a fire from his loins down. And lightning like shafts of splendor fly out of his hands. And therein is the hiding place of his power. Whew. My, 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 my. But now, wait a minute. Something happened. There's a bunch of people got born again. Jesus was raised and glorified, and a bunch of folks got born again. Now, when the Holy Ghost came into that Ark of the Covenant, you touch that thing, it'd kill you. But on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of the living God, the glory himself, came into this earthly envelope and he filled this thing. And I'm telling you, when he filled it, it made so much noise. It sounded like a rushing mighty wind. They didn't know what else to call it. And it filled this place up, praise God, with himself. Jesus, moments after he was raised, said to them, "All authority has been given to me, both in heaven and in earth."
Praise God.
It's back in the hands of God where it belongs.
Amen.
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 And the Holy Ghost came back in here, I mean, with gusto. The fire himself filled the envelope of this planet. Now listen to this. On the day of Pentecost, dear Lord, forget about those pictures you've seen where it had this little flat, looked like a, you know, a little big ladder or something right up on top of their head there, where it said, "And tongues of fire set on them." Get over that kind of stuff, will you? That little, right, you know, right here. No. The fire came in that room. And the word said he filled the place where they were sitting.
That's right.
There was no cloud. There was no protection.
That's right.
What did it say happened? It said the fire of God came in and sat on them.
Amen. Amen.
Didn't burn them up either. And just infused himself into them. My God, the glory's back. He sat on them. Didn't burn them up either. Why? They had been reborn. The life of God is back in there again. They spent days there in that upper room in worship and in prayer. And I mean, the power of the living God came in that place, hallelujah, and sat on them. Amen. Now we need to take our place. And we need to realize that's who's sitting on you. That's who's come inside you. This is not some little religious experience. This is not just some little doodad thing, you know, that you do just because you're part of this group or part of that group. No, bless the Lord God in his eternal heavens. No, praise his holy name forever. He paid an awesome price for this. Jesus came and appointed you as joint heir. He has called you the righteousness of God, and he has given us his Spirit. Somebody get up and shout amen. Woo, hallelujah. Glory be to God forevermore. Oh God. When you begin to take your plate and you say, I take my plate. Jesus sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. He took his place as Lord head of the church, expecting you to take your place and do what he says and put the devil under your feet. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know why some people get all upset and bent out of shape. But no wonder the devil don't like tongue talking. No wonder the devil don't like preaching on healing. No wonder he don't like preaching on casting out devils. But it's going to take a whole lot more than a little embarrassment to stop me preaching on it. You can't stop me preaching on it. We were talking about earlier about protection. Keith Butler's did a whole series on the power of the blood of Jesus in his church. And several weeks they studied the power in the blood. And one of his church members went to the bank one morning. And she was standing there at the, at the table there in the bank, along with a lot of other people. And there was a madman came in that bank with a shotgun, and he ordered everybody on the floor, and they all fell on the floor, obeyed his words, and then he just started down the way with that shotgun, just shooting people in the head with it. Shot this one, and shot that one, and he got up to this one that had been through all those sessions on the power of the blood of Jesus. And she turned up at him and said, "The blood of Jesus is against you. The blood of Jesus is against you. The blood of Jesus is against you." And he backed off and said, "I can't shoot you. I can't shoot you. I can't shoot you." And so he passed her by and went on to the next one. Now, I want to tell you right now, this is something we're going to have to get into the hands of our children. You can stop this school killing with a bunch of kids that know the blood and know the word and know the power and have the wherewithal to stand up for it. Amen. Hallelujah. It's our job to teach them and train them. Because I'll tell you, this is a dangerous generation. And you can't just sit around and say, "Oh me, oh my," and make it through it.
That's right.
Because you already targeted.
That's right.
You already targeted.
That's right.
Satan wants to get rid of you one way or the other. If he can do it with some little old, 25-cent allergy, some low-level devil can get you with a few sneezes a day, then you ain't much. But I'll tell you what. You get a bunch of believers that know who they are in Christ Jesus, that know that they're joint heirs, that know that they've been given an assignment in God, that know they wear the armor, that know the power in the name, that know that 91st Psalm backwards, forwards, and inside out, that know those words and stand on them and fill their mouth. I'll tell you, when that moment of life and death comes, you ain't got time to go fast and pray and get ready. That stuff needs to come flying out your mouth. You need to be an absolute Word of God, blood of Jesus machine gun when it comes to times like that. That stuff ought to come roaring out your mouth. Amen. That's the reason Israel needs our prayers. There are certain things we know how to do. They need our help. Well, why don't they accept Jesus as their Messiah? That ain't none of our business. That's God's business. He'll handle his covenant business with his people. Amen. But when it comes to prayer time, when it comes to devil whooping time, amen. And that's our job. That's what we're called to do, and that's what we're good at. Amen. Now, the more you meditate on these things, the more you confess them, the more you realize them, and the seed of that begins to grow on the inside you, you begin to see who you really are and what you really are. And oh, I tell you, folks, The love of God comes up on the inside of you, and the love life of Jesus begins to flow through you and out of you. And when the devil comes on the scene, the Lion of the tribe of Judah rises up on the inside, praise God, and begin to do business in the things of God. Amen.
Danke, dass Sie heute Victory Worte des Glaubens gesehen haben. Nutzen Sie diese Zeit, um positive Veränderungen in Ihrem Leben zu erfahren, indem Sie zuerst nach Gottes Reich trachten. Besuchen Sie kcm-de.org oder wählen Sie 07621 422 2861, um Gebet zu erbitten, Material zur Stärkung Ihres Glaubens oder Kontakte zu anderen Gläubigen zu finden. Vergessen Sie zum Schluss nicht, Gott liebt Sie und Jesus ist Herr.